Chapter 6. Night fell over the battlefield. The shadows cast by Malkoia's spires stretched back across the carnage still being wrought after over 24 hours of unceasing combat. The World Eater's assault had grown increasingly desperate with the passage of time, with whole units throwing themselves forward in an attempt to break through the masses of synthetic humanity swarming over them. Space Marines scrambled through a carpet of bodies that rose above their knees, ending lives with every passing moment, but doing nothing to diminish the millions that yet stood between them and victory.
"Form the spear tip!" Mojo called out.
Those unbroken who still had their shields pushed forward into a tight wedge formation with the rest of the company within. The World Eaters followed the movements of Astakos's standard, rotating until the tip of the wedge was aimed at the struggling 44th. Mojo hauled his men about by their shoulders and oriented them into place, looking back and seeing that his champion was still furiously hewing into the horde.
"First axe!"
Orontes slammed again into the ground, the head of his two-handed axe screaming as it tore the thing apart. With a frustrated bark, he leapt back behind the shield wall, pressing next to the centurion.
"I hope you know what you're doing," Orontes voxed over a private link. "We had a chance to turn this. A real chance."
"We fight as brothers," Major replied. "Brotherhood, Orontes. Without that, we are nothing."
"Indeed. Remember that when our father does what he does to those same brothers."
Major blink-cut the vox link. He had no time for Orontes' rage, or to ponder their father's. This invasion was floundering, and if the Legion had any hope of victory, he would have to do all he could to rally and save as many of his kin as possible. Slowly the spear tip advanced into the throng. For the first time in hours, killing ceased to be the Unbroken's aim. Generating momentum was. They needed speed, casting the enemy aside from their path rather than stopping to eliminate them. It took more than an hour simply to reach the outermost warriors of the 44th. Over an hour of strained, grinding advance, struggling to put one foot forward and then the other, crushing the dead beneath them into the sucking quagmire of the ground. World Eaters slipped and lost balance, kept upright by their brothers and spurred on to keep pushing. They fought, arms set into the backs of those ahead of them, driving on until they made contact with the first warriors of their brother company. Mojo peered through a gap in his shield wall, scanning for insignia amongst the World Eaters still standing in the chaos. The flash of a snapping chain caught his eye, drawing them to a battered fighter bearing the marks of a squad leader.
"Sergeant!"
The World Eater planted his boot into Agenon's chest, stomping down to wrench the spiked globe of his meteor hammer free from the collapsed ruin of the simulacrum's face. He turned, looking up to regard Mojo and the spear tip then, the white of his armor stained a filthy ochre.
"Hail, Centurion!"
said the warrior, with the furious calm of one born to be on a battlefield. As he spoke, he never ceased moving, the chain of his weapon never still as it snapped out to reap life from the robed masses packed around him.
"Where's your captain?"
asked Mojo, spurring his company on to fight their way closer.
"Where's Barker?"
"Dead,"
the sergeant answered.
"We ran into a great mass of them, too many. They wore our blades down with their numbers. It was like an ocean, and it dragged many of us down. Barker was among the first of them."
"You were our support unit,"
Orontes snarled from his place beside Mojo.
"Why did you advance?"
The sergeant spun his meteor hammer in a blistering arc, clearing a meter around himself for a moment before he answered.
"Because my captain ordered me to."
The moment was enough for the Unbroken to reach him. The shield wall parted, opening just long enough to draw the other World Eater within the spear tip before the shields crashed back together like a slamming gate. Mojo looked out across the battlefield again. Everything was in disorder, and the time was bleeding away to nothing. He looked to the sergeant of the 44th.
"What's your name?"
The warrior shook yellow blood from his arms, failing to rid them fully of the layers of gore that slathered them.
"Delvarus. Rally your kin, Delvarus."
Mojo laid a hand on the sergeant's pauldron.
"We will help you recover as many as you can, and join them with our ranks.
Until this battle is ended and the names counted, the 44th is yours.
Delvaris gave a short laugh.
My own company! I shall enjoy this while I can before we go back into orbit and Angron executes us all for this travesty. Do not speak of our Primarch in such a way,
Arontes warned.
Ask yourself this, said Delvaris with another laugh,
gesturing to the battle around them.
How many of the World Eaters throwing themselves into the abyss in these last few hours are doing it so they won't have to be alive to face his judgment?
You dare besmirch the honour of our Genesire?
The blade of Arontes' axe revved in his fists.
And now you do the same for your own legion?
Delvaris offered the first axe a passionless shrug.
We're all warriors here, champion. If we're strong, we live. If we're chaff, we die. What else is there to talk about? Enough!
Majo put himself between the two.
This bickering is pointless and shames the legion. Get your company into some kind of order, Delvaris, and do it now.
As you say, my fellow centurion. I want him in the pits,
Arontes growled to Majo over a private link. If we don't get ourselves killed first, when we're back with the fleet, I want him in the pits.
I'll leave that to then, said Majo. We have more than enough to occupy us here.
The sound of approaching engines brought Majo's eyes skywards. Tiny motes of light flashed, glittering in the night sky. Within moments, the distant rumble grew into a roar as the lights grew brighter and larger and multiplied. The sky became a light in a moving constellation, resolving into the boxy shapes of bulk landers.
Oh, behold our armoured support,
Astakos spat.
At long last.
The unexpected course of the invasion had thrown the Legion's secondary deployments into total disarray. With order and unit cohesion disintegrated, the bulk landers bearing artillery, tanks, and the stores of ammunition needed to resupply the front line had descended from orbit to find their designated landing sites had become embattled war zones or were completely overrun. Now, the Legion was just beginning to claw out enough open ground to get its heavy armour onto the field. Majo looked up at the bulk landers and the promise of the weapons they carried in their holds. If they were able to land artillery and coordinate a concentrated bombardment, they could wipe the surface clean of the Genans and march on to capture Malkoia.
Combine ranks, ordered Majo. Merge with the 44th and rebuild the shield wall. We need to clear the ground. Make space for the tanks.
Spurred on by the hope of turning the tide, the World Eaters renewed their assault. They drove the shield wall forward, clawing for every inch of clear ground for the armour to land. The enemy continued their uncanny tactics, climbing atop the shields and heaps of dead to force gaps in the line. His axe revving, Majo ran its teeth across the Genans crowding against his shield. One of the proxies stuck his face into the teeth, blinding the centurion in a wash of false blood. The others seized upon his distraction, three of them using their body weight to drag his shield down, while others scrambled onto Majo's back and shoulders. Eye lenses still slathered in gore, Majo could feel hands grasping at his collar, trying to open the seals and pull his helmet loose. He shook them off, but another leapt forward, grabbing hold of Majo's head. An armoured fist closed over the Genon's skull, wrenching it off the centurion and hurling it back over the shield wall in a crackle of snapping vertebrae. Majo looked back, seeing the brother who had come to his aid. His armour was new, and the weapons in his hands were freshly stamped standard issue. A new initiate, not long raised from mortality.
Well met, Brother Salakar.
Majo quickly dipped his head.
You have my thanks.
You honour me, Centurion,
the young World Eater replied. His bolter crunched against his shoulder as he fired a burst of shells into a cluster of Genans, scaling atop a mound of their own dead to jump their shields. Their bodies were flung back, exploding in a cloud of yellow gore and scraps of robe. Inch by inch, the Unbroken won enough ground for the first of their armour to land. Heat prickled their backs from the heavy thrusters, slowing the lander's descent. The boxy vessel lowered its weight down onto its landing claws, sinking into the soft earth and carpet of bodies covering the ground. The huge bay doors of the lander yawned open, folding into a hydraulic ramp that thudded onto the ground. The darkness within the lander was broken by floodlights and the throaty roar of promethium-fueled engines. The brutal, angular shapes of Legion-heavy battle tanks appeared, led by an enormous fellblade that filed down the ramp into the ground that Major had cleared for them. The commander of the fellblade rose from its turret cupola, firing into the mob with his bolt pistol. Handing his shield off to Salakar to take his place in the wall, Majo hurried to the massive war machine, with Astakos at his side.
Kayeptra.
The veteran laughed under his breath as he saw the tank's commander. He shot Majo a wry glance.
The Red Centurion, our salvation. Well, thank the Primarch, Kayeptra,
Astakos exclaimed at the new arrival.
It's good that simply watching the battle from the air seems to have bored you. You're lucky we got here at all.
Kayeptra dropped a depleted magazine from his bolt pistol and slapped in the last one hanging from his belt. He chambered around and resumed firing from the fellblade's cupola.
This isn't the first place we tried to land, and you think this place is bad. You should see the spaceport. There are so many you can't even see the ground. Oh, just get in the fight,
said Majo. Tension twisted his face into a scowl as he checked the chrono. Kayeptra pounded a fist against the turret, and his tank's twin-barreled accelerator cannon took aim. With a crack of thunder, the weapon fired, rocking the tank back on its heavy treads. A fireball exploded in the midst of the Genons, reducing several square meters to a smouldering crater that pattered with a rain of limbs and viscera.
Keep firing, said Majo, as he clambered off the fellblade's hull. Kill everything you see. Formidable weapons, mused Astakos. True,
agreed Majo, as they moved to the other tanks.
If only we had had them from the start.
Lining up behind the fellblade was a pair of Deimos pattern whirlwinds. The missile pods atop the boxy artillery tanks were designed to deliver ordnance from great distance, beyond line of sight. But here they would need to bring their death storm down at point-blank range. Major approached the tech marine commanding the first whirlwind.
Load anti-personnel, Major told the tank commander. Incendiary Castellans.
The world-eater nodded and withdrew back into his tank. The missile pods twitched as they were loaded with ordnance, then thrummed as they craned upwards. Such was the close range of the fighting that the turrets were nearly vertical when they fired. A wall of smoke appeared in thunder as they loosed their payload, the missiles rising on contrails of wispy exhaust before dropping in a tight arc. The barrage detonated a meter above the Genon's heads. Shells burst with an ear-splitting crash, spraying down and drowning the earth in a hurricane of burning liquid promethium. The false men vanished in the firestorm, boiled away into pieces and then scraps and then a pinkish-yellow smoke. By the time the smoke cleared, the ground glittered with dirty, flash-fused glass, sheened in gore and tatters of scorched, multicoloured fabric. After over 30 hours of war, the path ahead had been cleared. Entire meters opened up in front of the line, clear through to Malkoia. Majo sprinted forward, the shield wall disintegrating around him as the world-eaters pounced to seize upon the open ground. Boots crunched against the layer of filthy black glass covering the earth from the whirlwind's bombardment, chips of it flying in their wake. A savage grin split Major's features, running with Astakos, Orontes, and Hanno at his side. The gates were within reach. Victory was within reach. He didn't hear the tone sound in his helm. He only heard its sharp ring when the charge around him faltered, and the world-eaters ground to a halt.